turn back the clock a little bit, talk a little Packers history. I am joined in studio by Tom Pidgeon. Gives tours at Lambeau Field, a Packers historian. The guy, honestly, I've said, the guy has forgotten more about the Packers than most will ever know, and I honestly mean that. Awesome to talk to Tom. Really appreciate you coming in. How you doing, Tom?
Good, Marcus. Good to be here. Thank you.
So I was thinking about where to start, and, you know, we were talking the other day, and I guess there's no more natural place to start than the very first Packers game. You told me your dad was actually at the first Packers game.
My dad was at the first game in 1919. He was 11 years old. And what happened was that he lived over by St. Peter and Paul's church and school, which wasn't far from Hagemeister Park where the team played.
Okay.
And they were playing out in the backyard. A bunch of kids were playing out in the backyard, and one kid comes running up to the group and says, "Hey, there's a game over at the park. Let's go over."
Okay.
And they went over, and that was the first Packer game. And, you know, the first game, that was like grade school game. You could walk the sidelines. There weren't bleachers. You could follow the action.
Wow.
Dad's following the action, and this pass comes flying through there, hits Dad in the back. One of the players comes, picks the ball up, said, "Son, you better get out of here. You're going to get hurt." And that pass was thrown by Curly Lambeau.
Unbelievable. That is the coolest story ever. I mean, that's the beginning of the Packers, Curly Lambeau. Your dad was there as a kid. That's just, it's fascinating to listen to that story. So you were also at the Ice Bowl. I mean, we could go down the line. There's so many things we could talk about. You were at the Ice Bowl, and obviously, to a guy like me, you grow up and you just hear about the Ice Bowl, the final, I mean, Bart Starr's quarterback sneak. It's just one of those things that really sticks out in Packers history. But that's actually not your favorite game that you were at. You told me about a game in 1955, season opener against the Lions, back when the Lions were really the better team.
Yeah, right. Just back up a little bit.
Okay.
My dad is the reason that I'm such a huge fan of the Packers, and I just love the team, and I have since I was a kid, everything about us. And he started taking me in the mid-40s.
Okay.
And I can't remember the exact first game I was at, but I do remember certain games. But my first game was probably about 44 or 45.
Okay.
But, yeah, what you're alluding to is my all-time favorite game was in 1955. Now, being at the Ice Bowl, that's such an iconic game that I would, you know, put that right up there, number one. But I cannot because of this game that I was at in 55. So the Ice Bowl is going to be number two with me.
Okay.
I mean, even though it meant a lot more.
Yeah.
But, you know, when you're a kid growing up, everything is so big to you. And these guys are such heroes to you when you're a kid. And I was 15 years old. I go to the 1955 season opener against the Detroit Lions with a cousin of mine, Clayton Pidgeon. And at that time, they had kid section. You could buy tickets in the kid section, get in the game. We'd get to the ticket window on that day. actually, that when that day started out, came home from church, and I'm talking to my dad in the kitchen after breakfast. I said, "Dad, do we have a chance?" He said, "You always have a chance." Detroit had beaten us 11 straight times going into that game.
Hard to think about that now.
Yeah. All things have reversed, right?
Yeah.
But Detroit had a heck of a team. I mean, a lot of great players. Won the 52 and 53 championship. And in 54, they were in the championship game. They were going for three in a row.
Wow.
And got smoked by Cleveland.
Okay.
Actually, they had played Cleveland the last game of the year, the week before, and Cleveland beat them. And then they go into the championship game the next Sunday, and they just got smoked.
Okay.
So that happens. And
wow.
Actually, I was kind of rooting for Detroit at the time. But now when I look back, I'm glad they didn't get it.
Yeah.
Because we're the only one with three in a row, which we've done twice, and Detroit would have had three in a row.
There you go. They can't be in that exclusive company.
Right, right. But when my cousin Clayton and I got to the game, the tickets were sold out.
Okay.
55 season opener. Big game, Detroit defending Western champions. And so we thought, well, heck. We walked between the East High School and City Stadium. Long runway was an alley that ran to the back of the stadium. And got in the back, just hundreds of people back there, kids, adults, some other cousins of mine were back there, and they said, "Hey, Tom, stick with us. We're going over the wall." Never experienced that before. There was a wood fence around Old City Stadium at the time that maybe was 10 feet high.
Okay.
And I saw one kid try to scale the wall, and there were civil defense patrols all around the fence, and they pulled him down. I thought, well, this isn't going to work. They ain't going to let you. But then, like, a signal was given, and just everybody charged the wall. And my cousin just clasped two hands together, boosted me up. I'm up on the top of the fence, looking down. Who's right below me? A police officer.
Uh-oh.
What does he say? Son, get down. Don't get hurt. Find a place to sit.
So there you go. You got in.
Right. See, they knew
That's awesome.
They knew all these young people were Packer fans of the future, so they weren't going to discourage them by kicking them out.
Good luck stopping that, too.
Yeah, absolutely. So we got into the game. Actually sat on the grass on the east end of the stadium, right behind the goalpost on the east end, right on the end line.
Okay.
In fact, there were so many kids there, you know, you creep up as close as you could, the police would come along and push you back, and as they're walking all the way from south to north, as they're walking and pushing people back, the people they've passed already are ready to move back up there. So, you know, that works. Watched the game from that vantage point for almost the whole game, for the first 58 minutes, actually.
Okay.
And we were losing to the Lions 17-13. Figured, we're not going to win this game either. And, in fact, we had fumbled way up on the west end on our own five-yard line with around 3 minutes, 3.5 minutes left in the game.
Not looking good.
Not looking good. Detroit's going to get a score, and now the game's going to be salted away. Well, the defense actually held Detroit, and then Doak Walker, who was a great player with Detroit, he was their kicker, but he was injured, and he didn't really play in that game other than kicking.
Okay.
And lo and behold, he missed a field goal of about 15, 16 yards.
Mm. Leave the door open.
Back in those days, though, I must say that the hash marks were wider than they are today. And so the angles were a lot more than they are today on field goals and extra points,
mm-hmm.
which, you know, that could be part of the reason, too. But anyhow, right before he missed that field goal, I figured, well, we're not going to win this game. So my cousin and I, we got up and we went over and actually stood behind Detroit's bench, which was on the north sideline. You could stand, back in those days, Old City Stadium, you could stand right behind the players. There was a cinder track behind the players. There was a wood fence. It was about, the boards were about 2x6, so they're big boards. And then big posts in the ground, and the players' bench was right there.
Mm-hmm.
So we're standing behind that bench, and the Packers get the ball on their own 20, roughly 2 minutes left. And lo and behold, if they don't march down the field and pull that game out with 20 seconds to go.
Wow.
18-yard touchdown pass from Tobin Roth to Gary Kanafo wins that game. And from my vantage point, if I'd stayed in the end zone, it would have been right in front of me. But now I'm behind Detroit's bench. But I did see some things that were interesting.
I can imagine.
Detroit players throwing their helmets on the ground, swearing, pretty mad.
Yeah.
We'd pull this game out. So it was pretty exciting. I know the kids just charged the field, picked Gary Kanafo up, and carried him off the field.
There you go.
Actually, there was one kid that stuck a 50-cent piece in Gary Kanafo's hand that day when they carried him off. And that week, there was a little notice in the paper. They were looking for the kid Gary wanted to give the money back.
So cool. Yeah. Tom Pidgeon is my guest on the Saturday Morning Showcase, Sports Radio 107.5 and 1400 The Fan. All right, so I kind of want to compare eras. Obviously, the game now, we'll get to that. The game now, completely different than it was then. I mean, watching some of that film, I was amazed. Like, you get tackled, and you're not really tackled until you're actually tackled. Like, a guy is holding you to the ground. If you can get up, you're still going, but we will get to that. I want to compare eras in terms of, you know, who I was watching growing up compared to, you know, who the greats that you were watching growing up. I was 2 when Brett Favre got to Green Bay, okay? I'm 24 now. You know the team now, Aaron Rodgers and them, and that's obviously, it's a great team. It's a fun time to be following the Packers, but growing up as a kid, you are watching who? Like, your fondest memories watching the Packers, your favorite players, who were you watching?
Well, my favorite player, my all-time favorite player is Don Hutson.
Okay.
To me, the greatest Packer of all time. Back in his day, he was referred to as the Babe Ruth of football. That's a pretty high compliment.
It's about as good as it gets.
Yep. When he retired in 1945, Don played from 1935 to 1945. When he retired, he held 17 or 18 NFL records. It all depends how you want to look at it, because the 18th record is holding the most records. That's okay. What the 18th record is.
That's a good record to have,
it
by
is.
The way.
And some of those still stand today.
Mm-hmm.
And when Don played with the Packers won 3 NFL championships. So I think that's a pretty good track record. But so I saw just at the end of his career when he was around. Of course, the Packers in the late 40s started to decline a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
The All-American Football Conference came in, and then we couldn't sign our number one draft pick. So there was a lot of competition, like when the American Football League started up. Players had choices. What league do you want to go to? Who's going to pay me the most?
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, money wins out. And so we started losing number one draft picks, and that's one of the reasons the Packers started going downhill. But I saw every coach from Curly Lambeau right up to Mike McCarthy.
Wow.
And we had a quarterback by the name of Irv Comp, but back in those days the Packers ran Notre Dame box, and they'd shifted, and it wasn't the T formation until we picked up Jack Jacobs in the late 40s, and then the Packers switched to the T. And so as we got through the 50s, the All-American Football Conference joined the league, and the Cleveland Browns came in along with the San Francisco 49ers, the Baltimore Colts. And so the Browns were a dominant team in the All-American Football Conference. So when I was growing up, they were the dominant team, along with the Lions.
Okay.
And they, in fact, they played in the championship game four times in the 50s.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, with the Lions winning three of them.
The Lions and the Browns.
Yes.
Powerhouses in football.
Yes, absolutely. And I know today you look back at that. But see, things evolve, and if you're around long enough, you know, you're going to have your ups and downs. Of course, with the Packers, we've seen that. I mean, tough years through the 50s, and then the 70s and the 80s.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I credit Bob Harlan a lot for helping turning things around for the organization. His foresight and hiring good people and seeing that the football operations and the administrative side should be separated, that was a big move.
Yeah.
And that set us in the right direction, and we're in that same direction today. We have great leadership up on the top,
yeah.
And that's what you have to have.
No doubt about it. I mean, you talk about Bob Harlan's foresight. We've been talking about Ted Thompson's foresight, specifically this year. Like, you spend a third-round pick on Ty Montgomery, a receiver, and you have people saying, why the heck would the Packers draft a receiver when they have Jordy Nelson, they have Randall Cobb and Devontae Adams? You don't need one. Well, suddenly Jordy Nelson goes down. You're pretty darn happy you spent that third-round pick on Ty Montgomery.
Absolutely, absolutely. Ted does an outstanding job, and his track record with picks just shows it.
Yeah.
I mean, and you're not going to hit on all of them. I mean, I know our fans are a critical fan base because they want the team to do well. But if you follow other teams, you would see how many misses they have.
Oh, man. I mean, yeah. Before the Jordy Nelson injury, I mean, we're talking about who's the Packers' third running back? Who's the fifth or sixth receiver? In Buffalo, they're talking about, is Tyrod Taylor or Matt Castle going to be the starting quarterback? It could be a whole lot worse than it is for the Packers,
absolutely,
no doubt about it.
Absolutely. You know, sometimes people get spoiled. You have to appreciate what you have.
Because no doubt.
There aren't guarantees you're going to have it forever.
Right.
Like I said, you know, when you're around long enough, you go through the ups and downs. And for us to be up as long as we have been, that's amazing. That's because of the outstanding work the organization has done to keep us that way.
You bet. Tom Pidgeon, my guest on the Saturday morning showcase, talking a little Packers history. Okay, so I'm thinking back several years ago, there was a play. Vince Young was with the Titans, and Giants defensive end, I think it was Matthias Kiwanuka, he had Vince Young in his grasp. You know, he had his arms wrapped around him. He thought Vince had thrown the ball, or he was afraid that he was going to get a late hit. So he let go of Vince, and Vince scrambled for a first down on 4th and 10. And then I'm watching film from back in the day when you get tackled. You're on the ground. Your knees are down. A guy brings you down. There's contact. But as long as the guy didn't hold you down, you can get up and keep running. Completely different from nowadays when they'll even blow plays dead based on, like, forward progress and stuff. In your opinion, the biggest difference between the game, you know, put a date on it if you want, the game back then versus the game now?
Well, Marcus, I know you were over the other night and we looked at some film that was probably an eye-opener for
you. It was an eye-opener. Yes,
yeah.
It was.
I watch a lot of film. I love film from, I have a lot of film from, you know, many years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, the game definitely has changed. I mean, first of all, players were playing both ways years ago, and the players weren't as big. The rosters were smaller. So the game has changed significantly.
I saw the team pictures. I mean, it's, what, a fourth of the size that it is now, you know?
Yes.
Coaches and stuff?
Right. The first Packer team in 1919 had about 18 players on it, and they all didn't play in all the games either. And now you get to team picture today. I think I counted one year we had about 105 people on the team picture. Now, not all players, but
yeah.
Something pretty interesting I told you the other night about the team picture. Vince Lombardi was never on the team picture.
Wow.
For some reason, he separated himself from the – he didn't want to be in it for some reason. And you look at the pictures of the team. The only one that he's really on, there was one taken out in Palo Alto, California, when we used to play on the West Coast at the end of the year. For a number of years, we finished the season in San Francisco and L.A. the last two games. And they stayed at a place called Ricky's Inn out in Palo Alto, California. And they had a team picture taken in Blazers, and Lombardi is on that one.
Mm.
But – that's the only team picture that I've ever seen him on. I haven't seen him on any with the uniform, so it's just kind of interesting.
That is interesting.
But, of course, I was at the first game in Lambeau Field, which was not called Lambeau Field, which was New City Stadium. That was so strange to me that day in 1957 because I had gone out to the stadium and watched the construction and saw the stadium being built. And I was just used to construction and wires and telephone poles on the field, helped the wires, and all of a sudden this one day they're playing a football game in there. It just seemed different. But that first game was pretty exciting. What a beautiful structure. New City Stadium, built for $960,000.
Wow.
Can you believe that?
That's crazy.
Yeah. And, of course, the Bears were the defending Western Division champions. Had played in the championship game the year before against the Giants. And so it was a big game for us. And Paul Hornung talked about the game, saying that there's different things about that game that they just felt they had to win that game. They had to win that game for the people of Green Bay.
Mm-hmm.
And Hornung was only a rookie that year. He wasn't a big factor in the game. Bart Starr actually started the game at quarterback, but Babe Parilli came in and played, and Parilli was really the guy that played the majority of the game and pulled the game out on a touchdown pass to Gary Kanafel on the south end, of course, where the ice. The south end is where I've sat for many years. In fact, I tell people this all the time. I sit in the southwest. My seats are in the southwest corner, row 10. Been there over 50 years. I'll have somebody come up to me and say, I have great seats for the game tomorrow. I'm sitting on the 50-yard line. You know what I tell them? I've sat in that south end zone over 50 years to this day. I've not seen a touchdown scored on the 50. I've seen a lot in the end zone.
There you go.
Hard to argue with that, right, Marty?
Yes, you can't argue with that. No.
Yeah. So, and then, of course, saw Lombardi come to the team in 59. Tell you what, when he came to the team, I had tremendous confidence in him. Just
really, right away.
I know a lot of people said, what's this guy talking about? A lot of people were skeptical. I could just sense by his demeanor, by his attitude, that things were going to change.
Special.
Yeah.
A little different.
Yep. And boy, did they ever.
Yeah. And the rest is history.
Yeah.
Say.
Yeah. So it was great watching all those great teams under Lombardi, and quite a legacy that he left here.
No doubt about it. Well, when the Super Bowl trophy is named after you, you probably did pretty good for yourself.
I would say so.
I would say so, too.
That's quite a compliment to Lombardi and Green Bay every year that trophy is awarded, the Vince Lombardi Trophy.
And we'll see if the 2015 Packers can bring the Lombardi Trophy back home by winning Super Bowl 50 in the San Francisco 49ers home stadium. Probably will not be the first team, by the way, to go to the Super Bowl in their own stadium. Based on the stuff that's been going down with San Francisco this offseason, it's absolutely crazy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sometimes they'll kiddingly say to people, if you come over to Lambeau Field and see where the statues of Curly Lambeau and Vince Lombardi are today,
mm-hmm.
They were moved down the hill because they redid the whole front of the stadium.
Right.
And so you have to go up these steps behind Vince Lombardi. There's a whole bunch of trees there, white birch trees. Might want to count them someday. There are 13 there. That's for 13 championships.
Oh, wow.
A lot of symbolic stuff like that at the stadium. In fact, we told people last year, actually, there's room for more. We got the hole dug. We just didn't get the tree in there.
There you go.
Okay.
There you go. And they were close last year. Almost had to,
yep,
to plant that tree. But that actually leads right into what I wanted to ask you here, finally. Championships versus Super Bowls. There is a portion of an NFL fan base that will not recognize anything prior to the Super Bowl, because as they know it, The championship in the NFL is the Super Bowl. Therefore, nothing existed prior to the Super Bowl era. That's okay for the Packers because they won the first two and have won two more since. However, they had nine championships, and I'm sorry, but do you get mad at Aaron Rodgers for not throwing a touchdown against the Bengals when the Packers really played the Ravens? You know what I mean? Like, it doesn't make any sense. A championship is a championship.
Absolutely, and that frustrates me no end when I hear people talk about championships, but they'll say, yeah, but how many Super Bowls do you have?
Mm-hmm.
And I think this has been something the media has built up. Maybe the NFL hasn't stressed it enough about those championships before that. Man, they all count. I told a Cowboy fan one day that I was talking to, I said, the Bears have won nine championships. One is a Super Bowl. The other eight don't count. He said, yes. Well, talk about sometimes I guess it's going to be pretty hard to convince people then if they have that, you know, mindset on it.
Yeah. I mean, you start to wonder, like, are they all Texans fans or something, you know,
yeah.
Relatively, but the Texans don't have any Super Bowls either. So.
Yeah, the first playoff, sort of a playoff game was in 1932, and it was the Bears won it. They were tied with Portsmouth, and they had to play a playoff game indoors.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was technically the first playoff for the NFL championship. But in 1933, they divided the NFL into divisions,
mm-hmm.
Eastern and Western, and then they decided at the end of the year a championship game would be played.
Okay.
So that started in 33 and ran up until the first 65 championship game in Green Bay was the last NFL championship game, and then in 66, the Super Bowl, after that season was over, the Super Bowl was the championship game. And it's just called the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
It could have been called the NFL Championship game.
Yeah.
And it wasn't called the NFL Championship because it was the American Football League against the NFL. So they called it the World Championship of American and NFL.
Okay. It's Tom Pidgeon, my guest on the Saturday Morning Showcase. Before I let you go, Tom, again, really appreciate you coming in. It's awesome to talk Packers history with you. But as a guy who has watched the team for seemingly forever. I mean, you've been around. You've seen a lot of coaches come through here. You mentioned all the names, just phenomenal. But your thoughts on the current Green Bay Packers? Jordy Nelson goes down. That's the big story right now. How are they going to bounce back without Jordy Nelson? Your thoughts on the Packers right now?
The philosophy of the team, I think, a lot of times is to build from within. And I think by developing your own players, you're better off. And you can see that's been the philosophy. I know a lot of people don't like the fact that we don't sign a lot of free agents in off season.
Mm-hmm.
But our track record is pretty good by not doing that.
Exactly.
Yep. And so they have some young receivers that they've started to develop. And like you say, bringing Ty Montgomery on board, he's probably just going to have a little more of a role now.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a possibility, I suppose, that they could bring a veteran in. But just having somebody in the OTAs and the mini camps and training camp with you, that's a big plus.
Yeah. So, and Montgomery, yeah, he's a rookie. He doesn't sound like a rookie, though. The guy sounds like a veteran. He gets it between the ears.
Yeah. And then, I mean, they're very smart. And some of these people they pick up, they really look at things like that, you know, what kind of a student they are and things like that, what kind of character they have.
Sure.
So, I mean, you win with good people.
No doubt about it. Tom Pidgeon, definitely example of good people. Really appreciate you coming in this morning, honestly. We'll have to do it again sometime because we could do, it's a two-hour show, we could do well over 2 hours of Packers history and without problem. I mean, no question about it. So really appreciate you coming in.
Well, thank you for asking me, Marcus. Good to be here.